This is Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy, brought to you by PointsBet. Download the PointsBet app today. Gamble responsibly.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
I see assholes like you every day.
James Brayshaw.
Every day.
Billy Brownless.
Is this moron number one?
I could not watch. I just had to keep watching.
Put moron number two on the phone.
Is there enough idiot file just in this first segment?
What the hell is wrong with you two?
Everybody's working overtime. Listening to the Rush Hour.
I feel good.
Yes, Tuesday afternoon. I've been invited back for another day. So thank you, Rabsy. Thank you, Billy. Looking forward to another big show, of course. JB, he's done and dusted.
Yeah.
He's away on holidays.
Good.
But another big show today because Rajon Tucker, the Melbourne United import, one of the stars. I think he taught you how to shoot, Bill.
He's
going to join us live in the studio. Rosie's also going to come in.
Good.
Looking forward to chatting to Rosie. Mark Barretta is going to be a great guest because he's got a book out. And we all love the greatest sporting Australian moments in Australian history. We always discuss them and go through them. Well, he's put the top 20 together in a book, so we'll get him in and have a chat to him. And, of course, we always like to finish with one of your hilarious jokes, Billy. But hello, welcome to you, the star of the show.
G'day, Joe. Great to be with you again. What is your greatest Australian sporting memory?
I think it has to be one of Warnie's. I think the 700th wicket or the gatting ball. Or the hat-trick.
Yes.
Well, those three all stand out straight away. First things that come to mind for
me. I don't think he's got any of them in.
Really?
Yeah, actually, I know he hasn't. So that'll be interesting. We'll have a chat to Brett about that. Also want to ask you about St Kilda very shortly. A bit going on there still.
Yes.
But g'day, Ryan.
One that Carlton will be pleased with. They've laid 40 tackles for the half of footy, so they're on track for 80, which is a great number, and they've got 9 more than the West Coast Eagles. Excuse me,
as I choke on my meat. What's wrong with you? You couldn't talk.
I was trying to finish off my meat pie.
Oh, just scoffing food, yeah? Just scoffing food.
Rabsy, what are you doing? What are you doing that for?
Hey, the UK has a new Prime Minister.
Oh, yes.
Do you know what his name is?
Nope.
Rishi Sunak.
Rishi.
Sunak.
Yeah. Rishi Sunak, a multi-millionaire politician. He's only 42. He's the third PM in 50 days.
How long is he going to last, Bill?
Well, he'll last longer than Lizzie Truss.
I'm sure he will.
I'll guarantee that. So good luck to Rishi there. But now, a magnificent sports rappy.
Now on Triple M's Rush Hour.
Hey, nice little rappy, rappy.
It's Billy's All Sports Report. Don't risk missing all your team's matches of the T20 World Cup on KO Sports.
Oh, KO Sports tonight, the Aussies.
Oh, yeah, so you've got to stay up late, but we'll talk about that very shortly. Mm. But I want to talk about St Kilda first of all, because you said Robert Harvey's going to be assistant coach. You heard it from Tom Brown, and it has been confirmed. And you've got your little St Kilda cap, well, you did have, St Kilda cap on today. You've jumped back on the wagon, I see.
We're all back on the Saints bandwagon.
All the past players. How many are down there at the Saints at the minute?
Well, Robert Harvey, it has been confirmed. That's official. He will be the senior assistant coach because they still needed a spot to fill. So that is great news. So he'll join Lenny Hayes as an assistant coach. There's already Jason Blake who's on the board.
Wow.
So he was a big part of getting Ross Lyon back to the club. He's let us know that too, Jason Blake. Nick Del Santo coaching the AFLW girls team.
Yes.
They had a win on the weekend. So well done, Nicky D. They needed that, the Saints girls.
Nicky needed that too, I think.
He did. And Cozzy's also back at the footy club as well, working in the Danny Frawley setup. So but getting a bit of the band back
together. That's good, isn't it?
So it is great.
Yeah.
It is great. There's a lot of people there that are invested in the club. They're passionate and they're all very, very good at what they do. So the club's in good hands, led by Ross Lyon and Robert Harvey, the big announcement. Great to have him back.
So no Jay Montagna?
No. As I said yesterday, Triple M's my family.
Didn't get an offer, I reckon. That's what you read into that.
Knocked him back.
Cricket, of course. Australia will play their second T20 World Cup game tonight against Sri Lanka in Perth.
Beautiful.
Guess what time the first ball is bowled Melbourne time?
7. 7 o'clock?
10.
10?
10 p.m.
10, live?
10.
Oh, past our bedtime.
7 over there in Perth, which is 10
lucky
here.
For them.
I know. Wow.
10 o'clock.
Hopefully there's one little change. I want Stephen Smith to come in, please. I think they won't change. They like to do, you know, go ahead with what they're planning to do. But I think Steve Smith would be good in that.
For who? Someone's got to come out.
Yeah, I know.
Tim David?
David,
they say
Tim.
Glenn Maxwell might be in a little bit of froth and
butter. Or even Stoinis.
Yeah. Oh, you're not a fan of Stoinis.
No, well, he just... No.
He can bowl too.
yeah, I know that. I know. Be nice. What about Sri Lanka? I think there's Malinga and Fernando and Ratatunga. Remember all those great
names? Yes,
names.
I do.
Who put the warning said, put the Mars bar in front of you? And
Ratatunga?
Ratatunga, I guess.
Juno Ratatunga.
Yeah, that's him. Telekaratna. All those great names. Speaking of cricket, a very interesting book has just been released by Tim Payne.
Ooh.
And if you can read.
Yes, I've seen some of the extracts.
I know. There's things like he's not happy with Cricket Australia. They didn't have the decency to tell him that he was being sacked to his face. They had to go along and a PR consultant come along.
Yep.
They held a gun to my head. I couldn't go on without their support.
Not literally held a gun.
I think that was just, also claims that South Africa got away with ball tampering just days after the sandpaper gate scandal.
Really?
So in the next test, he reckons the South Africans were tampering with the ball.
Interesting.
I saw it happen in the fourth test of that series. And I quote that, by the way. I saw it happen in the fourth test.
You didn't see it.
Which is bloody interesting.
Yeah.
Which was all covered up, he reckons. So, but then Faf du Plessis, who's a very good South African cricketer, still going on playing. He's also got a book out, and it's called Faf Through Fire. And this is what he said. He was suspicious, and the team were. They had binoculars in their dressing rooms watching the ball thrown around. You know, it goes through the keeper to the slips. So they all had binoculars on the ball. When we noticed, and this is, again, I quote, Faf du Plessis. When we noticed the ball was going to David Warner quite often, our changing room must have looked like a bird-watching hide as we peered through the windows with our binoculars. So they just found out it was always going to Davey Warner. So interesting.
Did they then let the TV broadcasters know just to track the ball a bit closer? I think that's what happened, didn't they?
It didn't. They zoomed in and then shebang.
Right. All of a sudden, a yellow bit of sandpaper. Bit of
tit for tat there.
Yes. There you go. Interesting.
Buy those books. Do you read?
If I have time to read, I'd like to.
We might have Tim Payne on next week as well, so we'll ask him.
We have got Tim Payne on, yes. Haven't you got time? Because what have you been doing? What did you do last night, Joe?
I was working.
Haynes gave up the look for an even better look for Sobio at all the time in the world. And this time, Kadir with the lob to Harrison.
Really good read.
That's always
special. And the Frolings. And there is Sam. Right over Harry.
Take that, big bro.
The sets of brothers out there is now. It's Jack at the other end. A little bit of showtime.
Call in the basketball.
I had a crack at it, Bill. Thank you for bringing that up. I asked you not to play that, so thank you.
Well, Rabsy played it. I didn't play it.
All right,
the Hawks and the Bullets, wasn't it?
Yeah, it wasn't the greatest game. The Hawks only scored about 56 points, which was one of their lowest tallies in a long time, so they couldn't hit the side of a barn.
Oh, nothing downtown or shaking bacon?
Nothing like that. Brisbane got their first win, though. They needed that win, the Brisbane Bullets, so they're off the bottom of the ladder.
Right, good.
We can chat to Rajon Tucker about
good on you, having a crack at the basketball. Good on you. Just play nice and length.
Straight.
Line and length. Back to you, Rebs.
Righto. Melbourne United have a couple of massive games coming up. One against the Illawarra Hawks, and then they host the Perth Wildcats this weekend. Their star, Rajon Tucker, joins us next.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
Whoa, we're going to talk to him about some serious subjects here, Jim. So I want your best.
All right.
Best teeth in, please.
Melbourne United have a couple of massive games coming up against the Illawarra Hawks and the Perth Wildcats, and their star import, Rajon Tucker, joins us.
Last time we saw our next guest, he was dunking on top of Billy's head.
Bang! Just like he can dunk on people like that, you know what I'm saying?
Now he's doing it in the NBL.
Retame's off the back! Rajon Tucker flies!
And also getting it done on D.
And the big block over the back from Rajon Tucker.
Please welcome, from Melbourne United, Rajon Tucker.
Ah, yes, very lucky to have this man in the studio. Ooh, he is a star. He's been on the fringes of the NBA, and we're very lucky to have him in the NBL because he can play, and he's playing for our Melbourne United. Hello, Rajon. How are you enjoying life as a Melbourne United player?
Oh, man, I can't complain. The fans are great. People are great here. Food's great. So I'm a big foodie, I'm loving it.
Yeah, good. Plenty of restaurants around Melbourne. So you're settling into Melbourne life all right? No, it's a bit, well, weather's going to warm up, but you're enjoying Melbourne first time?
Oh, yeah, for sure. You know, coming from the States, like, this is not too cold for me. So it's still like hoodie and shorts weather right now. But the last couple of days has been great. sunny. You know what I'm saying? So I'm enjoying it.
Get the guns out.
Yeah, I got to pull them out sooner or later. I mean, saw you the other day. You had a lot out.
That was in Fiji.
That's
yeah.
right.
Too
yeah.
much out.
Yeah,
that was just a silly photo, yeah, which yeah, we do. Sure. That's a silly Aussie thing that we do, Rajon. Hey, where's your best foodie joint? Where have you found?
I've been to a couple of places. My late night spot is Chappelli's off.
Good.
Off of
Turak Road.
Yeah, off Chapel Street.
Yeah, Chapel Street.
And then Angus and Bond. Oh, I've been over there a couple times with X. I just kind of try to hit a couple different little restaurants here and there.
Coffee? Yeah. You a big coffee man?
I wouldn't say a big coffee man, but I do dabble every now and then when I'm eating brunch.
Good.
And what about Melbourne United at the moment? Ooh. Just going through a little rough trot, three on the trot. We've lost in a row. So just a little bit of a sharper focus. A couple of big games coming up this weekend. But how are you seeing everything? And how are you adjusting to life in the Melbourne United team?
Dropped a couple that we necessarily don't think we should have dropped. But our focus is, you know, this Saturday against Illawarra, and every game for us is a big game. So just shifting our focus and trying to get back on the right track. But adjusting, the game is a totally different game from the NBA. It's a little bit more less space. Players are tougher. It's a little bit more physical. So just getting adjusted in that part and just knowing, like, where my spots are and what shots I could take, and just the speed of the game's different. It's a high IQ league, so I'm enjoying it though.
That's interesting, isn't it? But I don't know a lot about it, but the court's the same, the rules are the same, but it's a tougher game, you're saying here.
Yeah,
down here.
It definitely is. In the NBA, we're used to playing in space. Can't sit in the paint for more than 3 seconds defensively and offensively. So guys being able to crowd the paint on, guys like me who like to get to the basket, it makes things just a little bit more tougher. You feel what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So just that aspect, it's a little bit more physical. You get away with a little bit more. It's good though.
Yeah,
It's definitely enjoyable.
We'll check the Melbourne United start, Rajon Tucker. So you've had some stints in the NBA. Can you tell us, take us for us that love the NBA, what's life like as an NBA player when you're on that periphery in the fringe? Is it everything you hope it is and you love it, or is it a bit more of a grind if you're not one of the superstars of the team? What's it like, your experience playing sort of a few NBA teams?
It's both. Just like anything that you do, it's a grind, and then you have the pleasure as well. So just like kind of being here, you could walk anywhere and everybody knows, hey, like, that's Rajon Tucker that plays for Melbourne United. So you still get that same amount of love. But on the back end, it is a little bit tougher when you're not one of those rotation guys that you have to come in and be diligent and grind just a little bit harder. You feel what I'm saying? Being in the gym extra hours, which that's not a problem. Like, if you're your gym rat, you're in there getting those extra reps anyway. Yep. So.
And 10,000 people at the last game. Good crowd.
Oh, yeah, man. I've been enjoying that so much. The fans have been great. Even though we've dropped a couple, they still came and rallied behind us. And we love it. And hopefully, they could keep coming and we'll turn this joint around and get some wins. So.
Ooh, and what about, did you get here in time for the AFL Grand Final? Have you caught any of the AFL before you started the basket?
The Cats, the mighty Geelong Cats.
Yes,
you definitely told me.
Yes.
I had never watched it before coming here.
Yeah.
And once I got here, I watched a couple games, and the Grand Final was actually the same day as my birthday.
Ah.
So me and my cousin, we were out eating, and we were watching the game, and we were talking, and we saw, I can't remember his name, but he walked him into the huddle and he says, let's dog him.
Let's dog him.
Next thing you know, I'm getting my hair cut and I'm asking Eli, I'm like, yo, like, what's the score? And he's like, it's like 100 and something to like, I'm like, whoa.
They dogged him.
Yeah, they dogged him for sure. The Cats dogged him.
I did tell you that, but who do you follow? St Kilda, wasn't it, or someone?
The Bulldogs.
The Bulldogs.
Yeah.
You moved into a house and they barracked for the Bulldogs.
Our CEO, Nick,
that's right.
He was with the Bulldogs, so he kind of got me on the bandwagon early. So been a Bulldogs fan, you know, red, white, and blue, you know, America. So it kind of all went together.
And what about the horse racing? Do you know it's spring carnival time? Do you follow the horse racing at all in Melbourne? Because it's a pretty big time of year for us. We've got a big sort of week or two of racing. You should be able to into get that? Out there. Be, I can imagine Rajon getting to the races and strutting up.
Nice. I have no idea about
the you horses. Know, they kind of call me a stallion, so I might have to get out there. And see what's going on.
I like it.
Now, I've seen a couple races. I haven't really been too big on it, but like I said, like I'm open to everything right now. I'm trying to. I thought about catching a cricket game.
Yeah, cricket.
So
you'd hate cricket. Americans hate cricket.
Hey, I heard it's like 7 hours long. I said I might treat it like baseball and go for like 2 hours and leave in like the second or third inning. So
how has it been? You met any nice
Australian women?
Well, no, just people out there. Met any nice friends? You got any nice friends, Rajon?
Oh, yeah, always. I'm very personable. So I run into quite a few people just, you know, going out to eat and being at different spots. So,
yeah
I've met a few. Met a few, for sure.
Oh, good. Very couple good. Of slam dunks.
Yes. Well, big weekend, as you said, Illawarra Saturday night, then Perth on Melbourne Cup Eve. So it's a public holiday on the Tuesday. Don't know if you know that. Big race here, Melbourne Cup Day. So it's a public holiday. So get the win. You'll be able to enjoy Melbourne Cup Day.
By the way, Joey, that game's Halloween-themed with activities and prizes for the best dress. Tickets are available through tickettech.com.au and memberships for United remain on sale through the Melbourne United website as well.
Yeah, it's a great season. Really even competition this year, Bill. Anyone can win it. So it's a great season to get involved in the NBL.
He'll fire him up.
He will fire up. You watch him. Once he finds his groove, he's going to take off.
Yeah, exactly.
All the best.
For sure. I appreciate you guys.
On the court and off the court.
Rajon Tucker from Melbourne United on the Rush Hour. Triple M.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
Never have I watched a full episode of Steinfeld. Is it Steinfeld?
What's it? Steinfeld.
Seinfeld?
Seinfeld.
Hey, Billy, I don't know if you saw this today, but just a little bit of frustration from one of our stars, a Grammy Award winner, Kings of Leon member, Nathan Followill. Do you know him?
Yeah. Plays for the Kings of Leon.
Yes, that's right.
Yep.
He took to Twitter to slam the bucket list golf course that he wanted to play in Sydney.
Yeah.
Because there's a no tattoo policy.
No.
So he went there to play. It was on his bucket list. It's been his dream. He wouldn't name the Sydney golf course, but he went there to play. And when he got there, they turned him and said, you need to cover up all your tattoos if you want to be able to play at this golf course.
He's the drummer of the Kings of Leon, by the way.
He is.
So there's a picture of Nathan here, okay?
Mm.
Not too bad tattoos. He's got a couple on his, one on his bicep, one on his wrist or there. He's got none on his neck or face. Like, it's not the worst tattoos like I've ever seen.
No, but that's right.
So you've got to cover them up. That's what this golf course, prestige golf course.
Basically, all these fans are saying it's a real old fuddy-duddy golf course with all these archaic rules that you have to cover up. Because tattoos are now, let's be honest, Bill, it's part of life. Everyone's got a tattoo these days.
Well, I haven't. Have you?
No, I haven't got one either.
And you haven't.
No.
That's three. Well, we've been the three only blokes in. I was having a look at Rajon's.
He's got some good ones.
I know. But everyone's got a tattoo, so surely. And so he's cracked it. He said, welcome to the 1950s.
Yes.
That's what he wrote. Good on him.
Thinks it's an old, outdated rule. So it got us thinking, didn't it?
It did.
About some outdated rules, Bill.
Right, eh?
Some outdated rules that were like ridiculous that we need to move past.
Exactly.
And like, you said you had a couple.
Well, I did. I found some. Actually, Whitney found these. But do you know it's an offence to fly a kite in Victoria?
What?
In public space in Victoria, you can't fly a kite.
Otherwise, what happens?
You get a fine, $777.
Where do you fly a kite then? In your backyard?
I don't know where you're allowed to fly a kite. Not allowed to do vacuuming before 7 a.m. in Victoria.
Oh, that's not a rule.
That is a rule.
That's just the next door neighbour's rule.
No, I know. But there's a maximum fine of $18,000 if you do the vacuuming before 7 a.m.
What?
Homing pigeons. You're not allowed.
Not the homing pigeons.
Hang on, let me read this one. Just talk while I read this one.
The vacuum, that when you used to drink on a Saturday, your mum used to vacuum real early on a Sunday just to, as a bit of a payback.
Yeah, that's right. Still in bed.
What about the homing pigeons?
Tell us the homing pigeons.
I'll tell you what you're not allowed to do.
No, what are the homing pigeons?
I can't be stopped. Any person entering upon enclosed land or premises for purpose of kill... Oh, you know, they kill or wound or disable them. Sorry.
That's fair enough.
Yeah. I probably should have read that. But also, you're not allowed to do business with pirates.
That's
Again, that's probably fair.
That's probably fair enough. But there are some weird and wonderful laws. So 133353, Hance, what's the phone topic?
What are some outdated rules that need to be scrapped?
Righto, some stupid old rules.
Stupid old rules.
Ring up now, 133353, because we've got some beautiful prizes.
Yeah, double pass to Australia versus England in the T20 World Cup at the MCG, October 28th. You can grab your tickets, t20worldcup.com, and a $200 athlete's foot voucher.
Wow.
Some stupid rules.
Stupid rules, exactly.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
Anyone watch the following here?
No.
Hey, great show. Kevin Bacon.
Kevin. I'll write that down too.
Brother of Kevin. And he's very, very good.
Bill, before the break, we were chatting about just some silly or ridiculous or outdated rules and laws that we just think, well, come on, let's who are we kidding?
That's
so
right.
Did you find a couple from around the world?
I did, around the world.
These are true, by the way. These are true laws.
Do you know it's illegal to hike naked in Switzerland?
No.
You get $100 for your bare bottom walk.
Well, you know, you spoke about you're not allowed to harm the homing pigeons.
Yes, fair enough.
Well, you know, in Venice, Italy, you're not allowed to feed the pigeons. It's actually illegal to feed the pigeons. If you get busted doing that, you get fined.
Feed the chooks?
What, do you feed the chooks?
What about this? Don't wear your Winnie the Pooh T-shirt in Poland. You know why?
Why?
Because Winnie the Pooh doesn't wear pants. So you're not allowed to wear your T-shirt. That's in Poland.
That's stupid. And this one in Scotland is true. It's illegal to ride a cow while drunk. That makes sense. It was an 1872 law that still exists
now. How many
now?
Scottish blokes do you reckon on the pitch would have jumped on a cow?
Hey.
So we're asking stupid, weird old rules, of course, and we go to Ballarat and talk to Robert. G'day, Rob.
Morning, afternoon, how are we?
Even afternoon. It's
nearly evening.
Yeah, 19 minutes to five. Rob, you're nearly off to bed, but tell us a stupid, weird old rule.
You're not allowed to change a light globe. You need an electrician.
Mm. Is that technically a rule?
Yes.
There you go.
Really?
Yeah, look it up. You're not allowed to.
That's why I do it, Bill. See, I call the electrician.
Jim. Joe, you just change
the light. That's why I call Hire a Hubby.
Make sure the PowerPoint's off and just change it.
No, you're not allowed. It's in the rule.
All right.
Sarah from Vermont. G'day, Sarah. What's a silly rule that you know?
You're not allowed to wear your slippers out on the footpath.
No.
True.
Where? Hang on. Wearing slippers outside was illegal in Queensland, but was repealed in 2004.
It would be repealed, but yes.
Yeah.
It used to be considered a sign of a person's intention to engage in robbery. Or
that's strange, but that's actually a true law.
What if you're just going to get Uber Eats?
Well, imagine that. You walk down the street in slippers and you get fined.
Yeah,
you know, Rajon, he had socks and thongs, the old sandals.
Yes, he did. Very good.
So that's probably not correct anymore, Sarah. Sorry.
Adrian, you're there? Adrian's got a bit of a contentious one. What's a rule that you think's outdated we need to scrap, Adrian?
Yeah, I reckon wearing collars in the MCC members. I think we've all moved on from that.
You reckon we're past that?
Yeah, I reckon so. Every other part of the ground you can wear what you like, but MCC members, you won't get in without a collar.
Mm. Collar, righto. So T-shirt with a collar? Yes.
Yes.
And no rip.
That would be a polo shirt.
And no ripped jeans, I think, Adrian, too.
Yeah, that's right. And that's fair enough. Ripped jeans, fair enough. But the collar, I think we can do without the collar anymore. Yeah.
You know what has gone, by the way? The suit with the tie. Hasn't the tie just gone
now? Yeah, the tie has gone.
It's gone.
It's good for us.
G-A-W-N.
Gone. Very good.
Mm. Brendan's there in Churnside Park. G'day, Brendo.
Hey, guys. How are we?
What do you got for us, Brendo?
So it's still legal to have a wee on the front wheel of your car on the driver's side in Victoria because it goes back to the horse and cart days.
So you can do it where the back wheels and the passenger side?
No. Front wheel of your driver's side.
Wow.
Or else you'll get charged.
Oh.
There you go.
That, I can't believe that. How many times you done that?
Heaps.
Surely if it was in your driveway, you could do it. Could you? Brendo?
You can do it wherever you want, mate.
Righto.
There you go.
Well done.
Nice. I'm confused. This. We're learning.
Is he saying we can't do it or we can't do it?
He's saying you can only do it on the front driver's side wheel.
Right.
Not anywhere else.
Why didn't he say that?
He did.
Alex, what rule do you want to see scrapped?
G'day, lads. It's not really a law as such, but the hit the post rule in footy's a bit silly, I reckon.
It's been there for 150 years.
It has, but it's a lot harder to do the kick and a goal, and you get less points for it.
What do you think about it? If it goes through, it's like tomahawks in the 09 grand final when the Cats beat the Saints. Should that be a goal?
Yeah, I reckon play on. Just like every other sport in the rugby, if it comes back into play, play on. Fair game.
It's a good point, Alex, but we'll upset too many of the traditionalists. Yeah. There's already enough rule changes. That's probably not one anytime soon we need to change.
What about when it used to hit the post and bounce back into play? Did you like that?
Yeah, it was not bad. I don't reckon it would make any difference. I'm open to rule changes. There's a lot of people, though, that don't like rule changes.
No.
What about the last one? We'll get the Mark in Seaford. Mark, you got the last one. What's a ridiculous law that you know?
Hold up, mate. Just getting down off my cow to put my beer down. apparently in Texas, it's illegal to own more than 6 vibrators.
Oh.
Yeah. Is it?
Mm-hmm.
6 is the maximum.
Why would you want 6?
Oh, that's a good question. I couldn't tell you.
Variety,
I guess.
A lot of strange laws in Texas, though.
There is. I remember Rui come back and... What, you couldn't shoot a, what was
a
it?
A buffalo from the second floor of a building or something. It was something real weird.
Real weird, over there.
The 6 vibrators one, it's not an issue.
Yeah. Who do we like, boys? We've got 2 tickets to give away and a voucher to Athlete's Foot.
Well, Robert kicked us off well. I didn't even know you're not allowed to change a light bulb. If it is true. Good on you, Rob.
Rob's got 2 tickets to Australia versus England in the ICC Men's T20 World Cup at the MCG October 28th. By the way, if you want to head along, grab your tickets at t20worldcup.com.
Oh, I like that we learned some things, and I learned from Sarah, and we've looked it up. It's actually true that you weren't allowed to wear slippers on the street, particularly in Queensland, but that rule got repealed. So I like Sarah's.
Well, Sarah, don't buy some slippers. Buy some runners from the Athlete's Foot because you've got a $200 voucher. Fititude, your physical and mental best with a perfect fit from the Athlete's Foot. Now that's fit.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Ramsey.
Hey, good work. Not bad. Not bad, Joey. All right, good.
All right.
Worried about the setup, but you got there. Well done.
Thanks, Bill.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
I want to see a crocodile eat a giraffe.
Rosie Walton is in the studio. Not quite feedback yet because you got something very serious to talk about, Rosie, that you did today.
I feel very good with myself.
What did
Joey,
you
I don't
do?
Know if you've done this. I know you have, Bill. Yes. I gave blood.
Well done.
For the very first time, I did the lifeblood giving blood with the Red Cross.
So how do you do it for the first time? Because you've got to set it up, don't you?
Yes. So it's pretty easy. You just jump online and you create your own little account. It'll ask you some questions. But then you really have to go in and you know, fill out the bigger questionnaire. So it's like quite serious medical questions, which is fair enough because they need to make sure that your blood's okay to be given to other people in life-saving situations. And I was there probably for an hour all up for the first time, which isn't too bad, but just keep that in mind when you want to make an appointment and make the commitment to go in and give blood. It's not scary. They explain everything. I did see that somebody had a bit of a fainting episode, which can happen, but they were so lovely and so careful and just so considerate. And I feel really good about it. I feel great about doing it. I feel good having done it. And
how do you feel now?
Fine.
Like, yeah.
Absolutely fine.
So Jill and I used to come down about here, I reckon it was, in Mornay Street somewhere where the old...
Mornay
Street.
Or whatever it's called.
Mornay. That's a Mornay.
And you're right. You actually feel good because you are doing a good thing.
Yeah, and you find out in 3 days' time where your blood actually goes.
Ah.
So one of the nurses that I was talking to, when she last gave blood, went to the Children's Hospital, so she felt extra good about that. So you can do plasma, you can do other things as well. I just did the whole blood for the first time.
Done. And there's biscuits and milk and
my God, Joey.
Chips.
You're treated.
You're supposed to, you know.
You treated a conscience with me. I have been saying for ages I will do it. So now that you've done it, I feel,
It
I've
always got some, kind of terrified me a little bit. But, the snacks are pretty good at
they
the
are.
End. So you're supposed to have like a regime beforehand. You're supposed to drink like 750 mils of water on the morning of and have, you know, a savoury snack before you come in. But afterwards, little sausage rolls, little party pies, little packets of chips.
Nice.
Little milkshakes if you want to make a milkshake. It's really good. But no, it's a very serious thing to do. Over 8.3 million Australians will need blood in their lifetime, which is extraordinary. And a new blood donor is needed every 4 minutes and one blood donation is needed every 18 seconds in Australia.
So there is a reason why Rosie and Dee from the office headed down today because one blood donation is needed every 18 seconds.
Yeah.
Search Give Blood and book your donation with Australian Red Cross Lifeblood today. 1 in 3 people, so that's, well, there's 4 of us in here, will need blood in a lifetime. Your friends, neighbours, teammates, workmates and family. So search Give Blood and book your donation today. Rosie, you're going to stick around because We've done the serious stuff, which we definitely need to do. And up next, you've got some feedback, which we always love.
Do you ever live in Texas?
Don't need to.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
You shouldn't make fun of people who can't talk.
Ever wonder if you're in the right business, Billy?
Big second hour still to come, Billy. Rosie's going to come back in with the feedback.
Yes.
I'm not sure we're looking forward to, are we? Is it normally positive or?
Yeah, always positive.
Is it?
It's always, always. Oh, yes.
I'm a bit nervous about the feedback, but looking forward to that. Hey, Mark Beretta's going to come in and have a chat to us because he has written a wonderful book, The Greatest Moments in Australian Sport. We've all got some in our head. We all know them. We can all recite a lot of them. Think about some special moments. Barrett's is going to come in and we'll discuss that and chat a bit about his journey. Been around for a long, long time, Mark Beretta, so that'll be good. And, of course, we've got your joke. Well, have you ever thought of one yet? Do you know where you're going to go with it?
Italian one.
An Italian one.
I might bring back my Italian accent.
Really? So all those Italians out there, to nonna, make sure you tune in. Stay for Billy's joke.
And it's a joke too. Don't write in and complain. Already a little coming. But the spring carnival coming up, of course, you win $2,000 thanks to the VRC Tipping League.
Yes.
Yes, which we look forward to. I want to know, I like Loft in the Melbourne Cup, I said. Who do you like?
DeVille Legend, the other import, is the one that we had Jason Richardson on Dead Set Legends, Billy, and he almost declared it to us a few weeks ago. DeVille Legend.
Yes.
Yep. It's about $10, I think, still in the fixed betting. But anyway, he thinks that thing is immoral. So
righto.
The two imports, Loft that you like is an import as well.
Exactly. But the other one, the Geelong Cup winner.
Emissary?
Emissary, yes. Michael Moroney trained. Always a good guide, the Geelong Cup, so I'd throw that in my exotics.
It was a big win. Big win. That's a good weekend, isn't it? Derby Day Saturday.
Yes.
We had Rajon Tucker in the basketball Monday night. Yeah. There's some cricket on Saturday. Cricket's on as well.
Yeah, Australia, England.
Friday night. Mm-hmm. So it's a huge weekend of sport. And then Melbourne Cup Day. What do you got planned, Melbourne Cup Day? What do you normally do?
I go to the pub and just help out to everyone down there at the Creamy. They come in. No, the oldies come in with their bets. You know, race 9, number 2, $2 each way.
Do you run
way.
Like a syndicate? Or do you run like
I put them on for them.
Yeah, so you run
so
like
I take
little...
their money you take... and put you take... it in the little machines on the wall, which they don't trust the poor old people. But
how dodgy is that sound? Bill takes the old people's money and says, trust it with me. Yeah. I'll look after
it
for
give them the tickets back. So it saves going to the counter.
Right.
So I help out. That's my way of help. Good. Then I had a palmy and about 15 pots. Responsibly. Yes, Rafi, responsibly.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
Yeah, you're just an old man lover.
Yep.
I love big saggy balls.
I go. Triple
M. On Triple M's Rush Hour.
Bit of feedback from Hose Mary.
Yeah.
It's social media feedback.
Be more constructive with your feedback, please.
With
Aussie Supermole
Rosie Walton.
Hello, Rose. Welcome back.
Hi. I just mentioned before that I went through Red Cross Lifeblood and gave blood for the first time today. First bit of feedback is from Sean Bassett to Instagram at Triple M Rush Hour. I've been donating plasma each fortnight since being cleared of my own cancer. I had to wait 5 years post-cancer clear, but now it's part of my life. I love the feeling of giving back. Good on you, well Sean, done. And congratulations for getting through that.
Well done, Sean.
I like it very much. I was in the lift this morning coming into Triple M.
Yeah.
At our new building. And there was two youngish men in the lift, both wearing white T-shirts.
Mm-hmm.
I was very excited. One of them, Joey, said to the other, hey, did you hear that, I forget her name, Karen, got a photo taken with Billy Brownless and James Brayshaw?
No.
What? And the other guy's gone, when? And they go, oh, in this lift. And I'm like, well, yeah, they work here, 4-6 every day, Triple M on level whatever. And they're going, oh.
It is funny when
you remember
walk in
that,
there.
Bill?
Yeah, Karen. it is funny when you walk in there because normally we're in, it was just us and Fox, wasn't it, in the other building?
Yes, very
now,
protective.
And there's all these other workers.
Oh, I know.
Interesting times.
Is that Bill?
Shut up.
Nick Childs sent us a message. I'm liking these because James Brayshaw is on holidays if you're just tuning in for the first time since last Friday. Brayshaw, just spotted walking the mean streets of Sandringham. Ooh. Two eyes emojis. Yesterday at 6:15 p.m. Keep them coming because that'll be very amusing.
Oh, yes. Can we please do that?
Because he loves being annoyed by people.
Give us an update of where you've seen Jim.
Oh, right.
Yeah. And if you see him, get a photo with him and send
that.
It in. Yes, let's do that.
He loves that.
Oh, loves it.
Nick Charles of mine. I like it, Nick.
Okay. Josh O'Reilly sent us a message yesterday. G'day, Fat Rabs, Hose, and the Rush Hour team. Went to see Bill Bailey Friday night at the Palais. Very, very funny, Bill Bailey. Called into the ESPY for a quick drink on Friday.
Oh.
first and realised I'd stumbled on the M's going away drinks for Jing. Or was it the Last Supper?
Oh,
you were there, Joey.
I was there.
Bill was wearing a triple XL Gazman shirt and had some patterns on it.
Yeah, it did.
Very, very
busy. Bigger
than
triple XL.
Yeah. It might have been a little bit bigger than triple
XL.
He's going out for dinner with his girlfriend after that.
No, Joe.
You handed out leftover chicken from your plate to the boys, apparently.
He did. Well, someone was hungry. Who wanted
me?
That?
That was me.
Oh, yeah, old fat guts. I've had half a chicken and I'm still hungry and you're sitting there going,
no, you offered it to
me. Feed me.
What about Bill orders half a chicken and literally he goes, geez, when you order half a chicken, you get half a chicken. That actually is a sentence he said.
Deary me.
Well, because it was a big half
and that was
of chicken.
It was just half a chicken and
no, that's
else.
Right. No, that's why I said it, because I thought there might have been a carrot or a little chip or something.
Just half a chicken. Yeah. Okay. Going back on the Last Supper theme, he said the sermon was clearly your form guide, and all he heard spoken from JB was, charge it to Bill. Yeah. Thought about asking for a photo with Billy himself, but didn't have the $40 for the VIP experience he charges, which was something we were talking about last week, where he was supposed to turn up at some pub and photos were going to be $40.
Oh, which is not true.
What? Never happened.
What about Jim had a few, and all of a sudden he was a hunting expert, thought he knew everything about horse racing.
Oh,
geez, he was frustrated.
Annoying, wasn't it?
Annoying.
Those people that don't gamble and then think they know anything.
Put it on the nose, on the nose. He'd have no idea. Geez, he's bloody frustrated. Thinks he knows everything, that turd.
Josh finishes his message by saying, at least I got to see one Bill who knows how to tell a joke that evening, being Billy Bailey.
Oh, nice.
Love your work.
Well,
Josh. Yeah. Biggest question, though, this week has been, why do you, Bill, refer to Lee Joey Montagna as the Greek wombat when clearly he is Italian?
That's right.
Well, please explain.
That's right. Racist again.
No, it's not racist. I'm taking it off BJ, your teammate, who we first heard you being called the Greek wombat by him.
Play basketball with the little Greek wombat.
Yes.
In Lee Montagna, even though he's not Greek, but just sounds better. He's Italian.
There you go. Was that BJ's attempt at humour?
Yeah, well, that's about as good as you get, I reckon.
Oh, come on,
so
BJ.
So he started it all.
And that's where you pick up.
Yeah, and we know you're not Greek. Right. You're Italian.
And I'm not a wombat.
Well, wombats are
Do
chunky.
You poo square?
No.
Wombats don't poo.
They poo square.
Yes, they do.
They poop squares.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I'm learning so much stuff on this show.
It's American poop.
I said poo.
No, he did poop.
Oh, I was trying to be polite.
Oh. So a wombat sits down and reads the paper.
They sit down
and then when he gets up, it's square poop.
It's like little blocks. Makes little blocks.
Yeah. So it doesn't roll down hills.
Oh, what?
100%. Seriously.
No, Rams.
Yes.
Don't you get involved with that crap.
All right, 1-3-3
literally.
But you do look like a wombat because you're chunky little legs and arms.
I think you look like a quokka.
You big panda bear.
A quokka. A panda. Quokka, shoot. Right, keep going.
No, that's it. I've got to go.
Oh, Rabs, wind it up. Thank you. One now. Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy. So then he yelled at the bird yelled back with infinities.
Profanities. Write that down, please.
This weekend, the Victoria Derby, it's a massive race day. And speaking of the Spring Racing Carnival, we are giving you, the listeners of the Rush Hour, the chance to score $2,000. All you need to do is head to giddyupflemington.com.au, search for the Rush Hour's Tipping League, Bill, and enter your tips for each race of the Spring Carnival. And guess what?
What?
The person with the most correct tips at the end of the carnival will win $2,000. And it's all for the glory and the glorious Melbourne Cup Carnival tickets on sale now. Ticketmaster.
How good's that? So just go along, giddyupflemington.com.au and put your tips in. Easy as that. You could win $2,000 thanks to Triple M, of course, our good friends at the Spring Racing Carnival.
That's it.
And just to find a couple of winners. It's easy. Well, I'll give you one. Loft wins the Melbourne Cup. Write it down now. L-O-F-T. Joey, shut up.
Head to giddyupflemington.com.au and put your tip in for Loft. It's that easy.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
Here we go. Don't miss your chance to see Europe's best football teams battle it out. Even battle it out.
Triple M's Rush Hour, JB, Bill with Joey Montagna. And right now we're joined by Australia's best sports presenter, Mark Beretta.
Since 2000, Australia has seen some unforgettable sporting moments.
It's gone for it. There it is.
And a champion becomes a legend. He's got the fan goal.
Next guest has ranked the top 20. Please welcome Mark Beretta.
Oh, yes, Joey, let me introduce this man. He's from Geelong. Very good Geelong boy. He's a TV host. He's a water ski champion times 10, if you don't mind. Journalist. He's done it all. He's been in the game 32 years. Mark Barretta, welcome to the Rush Hour.
Ah, gentlemen, good to be with you. Good to be with you. Good to see you, Billy. You're looking fit and young as ever, mate.
Well, not really. I'm a bit old and a bit fat, but that's all right. but also now we can add author. I know you had another little book there, but you've got a nice little book here, mate. Tell us about it.
I sat down during COVID just to, mainly for a bit of fun, to make a list of what I thought were the best sporting moments. And the list grew and grew, to be honest. And then I had a chat to some people about, you know, what we were doing, and the publisher got in touch and said, look, why don't you turn it into a book and make it 20? And I thought, geez. So then I had the task of trying to squeeze it down to 20 and then to rank them from 1 to 20. So it was a lot. It took me probably 6 months, because I'd wake up in the morning and I'd go, nah, that's all wrong. And I'd throw some out and put some in and change the order again. And over 6 months, I maybe got it roughly in the right order.
Not bad. Tease the audience, because we might play that in the second break, okay? So they hang on.
Right.
Okay. But I want to know how it all started for you, Brett. You grew up in Geelong, a little suburb called Newcombe.
You've been there, Billy.
I have once.
What's it like? I don't know Newcombe. Is it
you're just batten up the hatches. Do the windows up and don't stop there. You just keep driving through.
Joey, how do you sleep with police sirens? You okay with that?
But you've done well, 32 years in the game, mate, and of course on one of the great breakfast shows there, Sunrise, and I thought you were the cash cow, but you're not. But tell us how it all started. Did it start in Geelong at Bay FM or K-Rock?
It started at a place called 3GL Geelong, Billy. Good old 3GL, which became K-Rock. And K-Rock was bought by the Hoyts Network and then had Triple M's. And a young bloke called Eddie Maguire, I was lucky enough to work with Eddie. And I started there at Triple M in Melbourne doing weekend sport, and I'd fill in for Eddie when he was away, and he took me to Channel 10, so I started at Channel 10 in sport. And then a year later, Drew Morfitt retired, and a spot came up at 7, and would you believe I went in my interview with a bloke called Billy Cannon, who you may know. Yeah. And Billy interviewed me in the car park of Channel 7 while he was having a cigarette and gave me the job there. And then I reckon the first week I started, 7 announced they'd signed the Olympic Games from Atlanta in 96 through to Beijing in 2008. And I just went, I think I've made a good call here. This was all right.
There are a lot of people listening to this, Brett, that would be jealous, because it is a dream job. You've been covering sport for over 30 years and you're still as passionate as ever. Mm. So how many Olympic Games have you done? What are some of the greatest highlights and some of the most memorable moments that stick out to you?
Oh, it's always hard. That it's like picking your favourite kids. 13 Olympic Games, which I always thought, like, 13. To get to one is awesome. And so I don't take any of them for granted. They are the highlight. They're like four AFL grand finals every day for 2 weeks is an Olympic Games. Mm. What's the highlights? I reckon Cathy's Night in Sydney 2000 was probably the one. And I was lucky enough, through a strange twist of rostering, I got to host the telecast that night. The 25th of September 2000, the night that Cathy ran, and probably, I think it is still the most watched night of Australian sport on TV. So it was a magic night, and it just brought the nation together. You know, it doesn't matter where you were or what you were doing, people remember that night and what Cathy did that night.
Yeah, no doubt about that. You also do the supercars, and I reckon every year the coverage is unbelievable, isn't it? I just love watching it. You're in the cars, you've got cameras in the cars, you're down and Pitt Street or Lane or whatever it's called. But it's just unbelievable, Brett, the coverage of the V8s.
Yeah, I love it, Billy. It's an old Geelong thing, I think. I'm still a Bogan from Geelong. And it's just a lot of fun. It's a great event. It's like all sport. You get to know the drivers and you just get so involved in it, and their heart and soul. The teams are great because it's a real travelling circus. You know, they go from stop to stop. It's the same team. You see the same people, and you just, you know, you make great mates. So love it. But you're right about the technology. Bathurst was fantastic the other weekend. Yeah. I'd say probably one of the best ones ever. We had, I can't remember, I think 75 cameras on the mountain. So it does get bigger and better, and digital technology allows you to do that, and drones and all sorts of things. And the coverage, we're pretty proud of it. It's pretty special. Yeah. And, you know, we love being a part of it. Love taking the action. When you get big audiences, I mean, the audience was almost as big as the NRL grand final on a Sunday afternoon. Yeah. So it's a big national event.
And something pricked my ears when Bill introduced you. We've all grown up and seen you on TV our whole lives, but you're a water skiing champion.
Yeah,
a water skier. Where'd you learn to do that? Down at Geelong.
And on the Barwon River, in the world's warmest river, not.
Where between the two bridges there, the Moorabool Street Bridge and the other one?
And then further down on the other side of the Breakwater Bridge at the Geelong Water Ski Club. So down there. But my mum and dad loved it. That was their thing. They loved water skiing. So I learnt to ski when I was four before I could swim. So what dad did was he tied a life jacket on the front of me and one on the back. That was his guarantee that I wouldn't drown in the river. And we went skiing. But I loved it. I had a ball. I did 8 Moomba Masters. I think made the finals, I think, 4 times out of that. And went overseas, coached in the US, coached in Japan for a while. And just like all sport, it's a wonderful thing and you never want it to end. And that's probably why I'm still involved like this, because I could just never let sport end.
And you're obviously a keen cyclist as well, because we see you do the Cure every year. You've raised over $70
million.
For cancer research. That is amazing, Brett. Yeah. So you've been to about 30 years, so you're a keen cyclist as well?
Yeah, I love it. My little brother, Chris, my middle brother, bought a bike shop in Geelong, so I had to buy a bike. Once I got the bike, I had to do something with it. So I found this thing, Tour de Cure, and I've just loved it. I've fallen in love with it. This will be my 15th this year in a row, and we've raised $70 million. But what's important about that is that money we have used to fund Australian research, and the Aussie researchers are some of the best in the world. They have come up with 80 major international breakthroughs in cancer research. Wow. So you can imagine, if you got one breakthrough that changes the direction of cancer treatment and care, that would be a big thing. Mm. But to have 80 is like, it just makes you sleep well at night, you know? And that's probably, that would be the most, forget everything else, that is the most significant thing that I do. I love it. And it just gets great results and it makes you really proud of what you do.
Wow, that's why he's won the OAM as well.
Oh, exactly. He's done everything, this man. Hey, can you just hang on? We've got a break, Brett, and then we'll come back with Mark Beretta's greatest moments in Australian sport.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
And she says, Patty, what's happened? Patty said, oh, you won't believe it.
So not only a woeful accent, but you've stopped halfway through.
We're joined by the legendary Beretta, whose new book, Mark Beretta's Greatest Moments in Australian Sport, is available from today online and in all good bookstores.
I tell you what, you want to get the hard copy, because I've got it in my hands, Beretta. It's a beautiful looking book. It is one of those ones that you can just sit on the coffee table or on the mantelpiece, and anyone that comes can just flick it open and have a read, because it's a beautiful book with Cathy Freeman on the front. So I'm not sure whether that's a giveaway, but you must be really pleased and proud of what the work you've done with this.
I couldn't believe it when it turned up, because I thought it would just be a little, paperback that people would sort of throw around and, you'd have a flick through. But when it turned up, it was hardcover and it's got the beautiful glossy pages and the great photos. And I thought, that's really nice. And to be honest, it does justice to the Australian sports stories. And you remember, 2000, a lot of people listening now, if you're 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, you never saw Cathy Freeman at Sydney 2000, which was one of our great moments. So I'm hoping that, people will flip open the book and have a look at that and tell that story and talk about it. But it hopefully just starts some great discussion about Australian sport and all the great things that we've done. And to be honest, to get that list down to 20 was really hard work, because there are so many great achievements that our Aussie athletes have done.
Well, you know what the Aussies do? We do bat above our average. There's no doubt about that. And overseas, per capita and all that. And even some of the things that happen overseas. So we started, we'll go through a few, but what's number 20? Joey boy.
Oh, number 20 was the Women's World Cup.
Yes, that's right.
The Women's T20 World Cup.
Who smashed 100? Healy, wasn't it? She smashed 100.
Yeah, Lissa Healy had a ripping night out. That moment stand out. And what I tried to do was grab the moments that really impacted the Australian public, that made people just stop and watch and take away a great memory. And that was a changing moment, not only for women's cricket, but for women's sport. Oh, and in this country, to have a sellout at the MCG for a final, absolutely.
Right.
It was massive. Katy Perry sang that night.
Yep.
You know, the whole spectacle was incredible, and the match was fantastic, and the Australian win was brilliant. And that was a beauty.
Well, the one that stands out to me, number 9, John Aloisi, the penalty goal to get us in the world, because it's one of those ones where you remember where you are.
Took his shirt off.
I was at Fraser Gehrig's house. He was hosting a bit of a party, having a few beers with a few Saints boys, and we can remember going mad, jumping up and down in the living room. So that's one of my favourites. Bill, what about yours? What's one of your favourites?
Well, any of the Shane Warne 700th wicket at the MCG?
Controversially, no Warney.
And this is good, Billy, because we need to debate this.
Yes.
But it's really hard. That's one of those moments that missed out. And, I put Steve Waugh's century at the SCG, which I think was was a great one, and probably a toss-up between those two. Yep. But this is why I didn't sleep well for about 6 months, because it's really hard to try and rank them and see who's in and who's out.
What are the other ones that have missed out? You would know,
Adam,
Brett.
Adam Scott was a bit stiff, I reckon, 2013 Masters.
No, he's in. Thank you.
On. Oh, apologies.
No. Yeah, yeah, take, you know, keep him in.
Go to number three, Joey.
I'll just check the print.
I didn't get down to number three.
So what are some that might have missed out?
I just had a heart attack.
Yeah, I know.
Sally Pearson's gold medal at the London Olympics for hurdles. That was a beauty, yeah. That missed out. Look, there were a few, and it was really, really hard. There was, as I say, so many great moments. It's really, really hard to narrow it down and then to rank them.
Well, let's get to number three, because we've got a bit of audio here. And it is Adam Scott, Joey.
There you go.
First Aussie to win the US Masters.
There it is, Adam Scott. A life changer.
Unbelievable, magical moment. He is now officially the Wizard of Oz.
We can all picture that too in the dark. Yes. He does that big celebration. Very, very special moment. Well, I liked number two, and I reckon this is one of Barrett's favourites. Yeah. Clearly, White made number two because it's right down his wheelhouse. Yeah. Cadel Evans winning the Tour de France.
This is the winning ride of the Tour de France. Bet your boots on it. Cadel Evans cannot be beaten now. He is over a minute to the good. He's won the Tour de France.
Oh, how good was that, eh? And a Geelong boy, Bowen Heads boy.
Yeah, and I think, look, the moment that cemented that was, remember when he came home to Melbourne and they had the reception in Fed Square?
Yep.
And I don't know, there must have been 20, 30,000 people that turned up there in yellow shirts and, you know, just got involved that day. And that's made Cadell a legend. And I think his backstory too, I talk about a story in the book. And the great thing about it was I went back to a lot of these athletes and had spent some time at length with them, just going through the moments and what they remember. And, you know, for most of them, it was really rare that they'd revisited the moment. Yeah. Quite often they don't watch it. They've never looked back at it, or they haven't seen it very often. And they haven't talked about it in depth that much. And they sort of, you know, for a lot of them, it was a special experience. I did it with Craig Lowndes at the back of Bathurst, sitting on a couple of boxes to talk about his three wins up there with Jamie Wincup. Three in a row, right? But the first one was 2006, just after Peter Brock died. And for Lowndesy, that was so emotional. They put him in Brock's old Tirana to do a lap of the mountain. Oh. The bloke's driving around the mountain in tears. He gets out of the car. He's in tears. And Roland Dane, the team boss, says to him, "Craig, you cannot drive the first leg of the Bathurst 1000 like this." And Craig said, "I have got to do this." And they went on and they won the race.
Yeah, how good was that? But so Adam Scott, number three. Cadell Evans, number two. But number one of Mark Barretta's, his new book, The Greatest Moments in Australian Sport, is this.
Well, he's had a rock and rolling season. Down and out and back he comes. Can he finish it off with a goal?
Have you changed my order, Bill?
There it is, the goal after the siren against Footscray. Well done, Brett. I didn't think it'd be number one, but well done.
There goes the sales of the book, Brett. No one's buying the book now.
That's gold.
That can't be true.
That's gold. How did you know? That's what I really wanted to do, Bill. You're right.
Yeah. No, number one is this. Who would ever forget this?
Well, he's had...
Oh, no.
Geez, you're really milking it now, Bill.
Sorry. No, it's real.
Champion.
Yeah, fair enough. That was unbelievable. We all watched that. Did you actually speak to her?
Yeah, I did. Yeah. And I was with her 4 years before in Atlanta in 96 when she got the silver medal. And this is why this story I thought was so special. I was there when she met her mum in the stand after her race.
Yep.
And she said to her mum, I'm sorry, I only got the silver. And we've all just gone, really? Yeah. But she said, I promise you I'll get the gold in Sydney. Oh. And like to follow that story through 4 years later and all the drama, do you remember... Jose Marie Parek, who came out, and there was all the drama, and she spat the dummy and went home before the race. And Kathy lit the cauldron jammed up,
wouldn't work.
It was all happening that week for Kathy. And yet, I don't think we've ever had an Australian athlete who has performed under that much pressure. And delivered. And, you know, that is just, I don't think there's any argument about that moment. There might be about other ones, but I reckon that one, no one says, no, I've got another one to top that. There's none better.
No, well done, Brett. Yeah. And where can we find this magnificent book?
Online. In all the best and all the really cheap bookshops as well, Billy.
Mark Barretta's Greatest Moments in Australian Sport. It's available from today as well, boys.
Yeah, worth getting. Good Christmas present, I reckon, Bill. It's a beauty.
He's a good Geelong boy. Well done, Brett. Thank you very much.
Good on you, legends. Great to chat, boys. Thank you.
Do you want to watch Billy's joke?
Look at him. He's now in the fetal position because he knows how appalling that is.
Just follow Triple M Rush Hour on Instagram and you can see Billy's joke every day.
Hey, big day tomorrow, Wednesday, which always means the hump day quiz.
Yes.
Can't wait for that, Bill. That's the highlight of the week for
it
me.
It is.
Jay-Z Clark's going to come in. Always plenty of footy news, still plenty to talk about.
And any chance we can get the new St Kilda coach on, Ross Lyon. You're his best mate. He thinks you're the...
The difference, Lee Montagna.
So any chance you can get him on?
Really? You really want to try and get him?
Well, yeah, why not?
All right, let me make a call and we'll see if we can get him on tomorrow's show.
That would be good.
I'll try my best.
Well done, Joseph.
I have a joke.
This is Billy's joke. Allegra Interiors, Melbourne's premium curtains and blinds retailer. For a free quote, search Allegra Interiors.
Have they rang you yet, Allegra?
No, I need to follow up.
Because they heard the
blinds.
Yeah,
I do. I need some dark, the blackout ones.
Yeah, for
Florence's room, so she stops waking up at 5:55 a.m.
Yeah, exactly. You got to pay. It's not all free.
Oh,
it's a free quote though.
Yeah, free quote.
Mm-hmm. Can I get a discount?
While you're there, just take the wine. Here's one for you, Joseph Montagna.
Montagna.
Thank you. It's an Italian joke, okay? I've just got to get into my accent.
Okay.
Did you hear about the Italian chef with a terminal illness?
No, I didn't.
He passed away. Can only do so much. Now he's just a pizza history.
Was that a pizza history?
Yeah, pizza history. Rabbits.
Oh, Rabs.
See, the accent, the good joke, tick, tick, boom. No more accent for Alice.
Slightly racist.
That's not racist.
Sorry, Nonna.
Nonna, I am sorry, Nonna. To all the Nonnas out there.
Oh, Bill.
I'm sorry for
I'm
that.
I'm sorry. I'm a sorry.
Oh, you're a what?
See you tomorrow.
Bye-bye.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy. Brought to you by PointsBet. Built different. Faster, easier, better. Download the PointsBet app today. Gamble responsibly.